Praise the Lord. Well, we've been ministering for some weeks in the area and subject of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's ministry, the Holy Spirit's role in our lives. One of the things you may note, the teaching that we've been doing and the ministry we've been experiencing is from the perspective of a pastor. Why do I say that? A lot of what I've been teaching is so that you can receive from the ministry of the Spirit in a safe way. Amen. There is error possible. There is all kinds of trouble possible under what people would say, this is the Spirit of God. And a pastor is going to protect the flock, protect the sheep. We want to have the ministry of the Holy Spirit in full manifestation among us. But when we do that, we want to also know the difference between the genuine and the not so genuine. So a pastoral perspective has been, and why wouldn't it? That's what I am. I'm a pastor, and I'm going to feed the sheep and prepare them to be discerning as well. Amen. Cattle, sheep, goats, they don't eat everything, even pigs. Pigs are quite discriminate in what they eat. And if something is bad for them, harmful to them, they won't eat it. So we need Christians, the sheep, to be the same, to know what to eat, what not to eat, right? Maybe that's true physically as well, but anyway, a different subject. So even today, I'm going to come at these things from kind of a pastoral perspective, arming you to be safe, yet free to have a full flow of the Spirit of God. That makes sense? Can't help it. It reminds me of aviation. We want to fly, but we go up and we train about what can go wrong, how to spot it. So I'm teaching you things of the Spirit along with the cautions and working through some of those so you don't spin out, so you don't crash. And we want the manifestation of the Spirit. Whenever there's a move of God and a revival and a move of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit and so on are in operation, there will always be somewhere in there somebody come along with too much excess, and it goes from spirit to flesh. How many remember laughter in church? Just laughing. And not just back then, but today as well. Well, there was some places, sometimes, there was also barking and roaring. And some people said, I don't know about that, you know. And others said, yeah, it's the Holy Ghost, it's the Spirit of God. And I said, no, it's not. Well, what's the difference between laughing and barking? It's very simple. One is human and one is animal. Very simple. When you see an animal manifestation, it's not the Spirit of God. When you see something very human, and the emotion from humans, a shout, tears, moans. Scripture talks about the Holy Ghost with groans which cannot be expressed in articulate speech. Right? So it will be human God, not animal. So somebody wriggling around on the floor in a snake-like fashion. There's reports of that too, you know, through the ages. Not God. So I, your pastor, am arming you to be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. Amen? Revelation 19, verse 11. That's a different place to start, isn't it? Revelation 19, verse 11. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called faithful and true. One of the greatest things you could ever be called is faithful. Was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood. You already know who this is, right? And his name is called the Word of God. The Word of God. Go to John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We're talking about a He. He, the Word of God. He was in the beginning with God. Very clearly, we are talking about Jesus, and He is called alternately. Jesus would be His human name. Other men have been named Jesus. In the Hebrew language, it was probably closer to Joshua. In some of the Hispanic cultures, the name is still used, Jesus. So it's His human name. His title was the Christ in Greek. That was Greek. So Jesus was Hebrew. When it says Jesus the Christ, it's Hebrew Greek. Both languages were used. The Christ, which means the anointed one. There's an equivalent word in Hebrew, means the Messiah, the anointed. He, but it would be also interchangeable, His name is the Word of God. You with me so far? Yes. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 6, please. 1 John 5, 6. This is He who came by water and blood. When you see someone come by water, and there's other references in the Scripture, water, when it come by water, means a natural birth. A little bit of water is involved in that. Anyone who's been around, all the mothers, of course, have. Lately, if fathers are invited in as well, but water is involved. This is He who came by water and blood. I looked at this a little bit in preparation. The blood is the blood that was shed on His crucifixion. He was born by water. He was born again by blood. That's why it says, He who comes by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And this is also a reference to the piercing of His side, where the Bible tells us blood and water flowed. Reading on, and it is the Spirit who bears witness. Let's stop for a second. Remember, we've talked about being led by the Spirit or the work of the Spirit, that He, number one, bears witness with our spirit. Number two, we would, and then we call that the inward witness. Perhaps stronger would be the inward voice, where you may be able to articulate in words what that leading is, that sense. Remember Paul, concerning going out to sea in the wintertime there, said to the sailors, I perceive that this voyage will be of great danger. All he had was a perception. If the intensity would increase on a leading from God, you would probably be able to start to put it in words. And we would call that the inward voice. So the role of the Spirit of God, as we have previously established, could again, some of it we'll see here, is to bear witness. The most common way the Spirit of God deals with you, the most common way you are led is not by visions, not by dreams, not by writing in the sky, not by circumstances. It's a perception. It's a sense. It's a something on the inside. People will call it, I got a little itch. I just got, something just bothers me a little bit. For me, it's kind of like go somewhere. I did this in buying real estate. I got to go there and see it. And pick up on what do you have on the inside. So some of it I've described as like you put on a jacket and it fits or it pinches you somewhere, right? It just doesn't seem to fit. That is the Holy Ghost. That is the Spirit of God leading just as much as a prophet of God coming up, just as much as angels descending from heaven, just as much as any other way that God may communicate, number one's going to be with that sense on the inside. And to mature in the Lord is to develop the sensitivity and accuracy to that. I would say this, when you have it, follow it and follow it quickly and see how it turns out. Amen. And you'll get better at it and better at it and better at it and better at it. Sometimes the difference between a believer who has all the promises of God to them and doesn't seem to ever get those blessings working, and over here, another believer, all the same promises, and God's no respecter of persons, he doesn't have favorites, and them seeming to win again and be successful again and again, and increase in blessing, and increase in blessing, and increase in blessing, the difference is one has learned how to be sensitive to that leading and obey it, and the other one has not. That's the only difference between the two. I don't believe it's bragging at all, but I learned to be sensitive to that, and it has brought me success and prosperity and healing and much blessing in our lives. How many believe that God wants to bless you financially? This is a very big part of that. Knowing when to buy or invest, when not to. When is it time to do this or that? It's not just all smarts. So, back to our verse here. It is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven: the Father, the Word, we know who that is now, right? And the Holy Spirit. These three are one. These three are one. Now here, in John's epistle, he identifies the Father, the Word, the Spirit. Other places the Bible does as well. We say that the Godhead is the Trinity. It's a concept I can't fully explain, but three, yet one. Here the three are all described with different names. They're listed as persons, identities, and it says, and they are, these three are one. You look at that a little bit and you find out one, it means one in unity. They're of the same nature. They're of the same character. They have their separate roles. We know that ultimately the Father is the judge. We know that ultimately the Father is the creator of all things. God said, let there be. And through other scriptures, we find that Jesus was involved in every part of creation. And the manifestation of the power was the Spirit of God. So all three together. But these three are one. And verse 8, and there are three that bear witness on earth: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. So you see where it says the three agree as one. They're all testimonies that Jesus is the Christ on the earth. We can apply that back where it says these three are one. We could also say there, these three agree as one. So, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit are in perfect unity and agreement. Amen. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. Here's a good spot. I'll throw in a title that I've chosen for the message. And we're teaching today how to be deception proof. How to be accurate on things of the Spirit and not be deceived. So the title is The Word and the Spirit Agree. The Word and the Spirit Agree. We could look elsewhere. Jesus is the Word, both spoken and Logos written. He is the Word made flesh. The Word and the Spirit agree. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, beloved, do not believe every spirit. Now we might see things in our lives. We might see spiritual forces at work. We might sense spiritual forces at work. You might even feel them. But they're not all from God. There are manifestations, there are sensations, there are things done, there are signs, if you will, that are done by spirits that are not from God and not of God. And so many people are tripped up when they see something that's not explicable, except that it's some supernatural force. Now, we had part of our country suffer a terrible hurricane here recently, and still apparently hundreds of people missing. Not so much the coastal areas, but inland, and especially getting to the terrain of the Appalachians. Feet of water coming down as rain, and it runs right to the river bottoms and valleys, and that's where the people have their houses. Many, many were swept away. Many have not been found yet. On your insurance policy, that would be called an act of God. Anybody here think that God did that to all those people? Good, I'm in the right place. There are storms that have particular names. In other parts of the world, up in New England, they get what they call a nor'easter, a particular type of storm that brings snow and terrible for up in New England. You know, New York can have trouble with that and so on. There's a name, and I don't recall right off the top of my head, on the Sea of Galilee, where a particular kind of thing happens. And it's also, the Apostle Paul was going through the Mediterranean in a time when it's very dangerous to travel. And if you'll recall, they went out on that voyage, and they were 14 days without seeing the sun in a great tempest. The ship was practically breaking apart. They lightened the ship. They threw things overboard and everything. Those are not acts of God, but there is a supernatural side to them. And the names of those storms reflect that. There's a spiritual force. On the Sea of Galilee, when that boat was being swamped and Jesus was asleep in the back, was one of those storms. And it was an act of spirits to attempt to kill him and the disciples. With the Apostle Paul, that storm had a supernatural quality about it, that it was an attempt to kill Paul and everyone that was with him. So there are things that happen that you scratch your head and go, this is not normal. It's not right. And just because it's supernatural or spectacular doesn't make it God. Now, maybe that's easy to swallow and understand when we're talking about a severe storm or something like that. But what about for those of us that maybe when we didn't know better? Lord, if it's you, open the door. If it's not you, close the door. Lord, if this is you, you want us to do this, just make everything smooth and easy. Lord, if you want me to do this, just have the bank say yes. All of those can get you in serious trouble because the enemy can open doors, can close doors. Just because a bank says yes to a loan doesn't mean it was God's way of providing. It probably wasn't. Yeah, brother. Real quick. Can a demon work in your dreams? Well, those are called nightmares. And sometimes it may be, what did you watch just before you went to bed, you know? I don't understand. Some people like horror movies, and I don't get it. But anyway, yeah, I believe the answer is yes on that. They have access. They can do things. And sometimes we unknowingly cooperate with them. Sometimes people are flat out participating, encouraging, and even going in that direction. The dark arts and all of that kind of stuff, you know. Voodoo would definitely be part of that. Well, there's a report over in Ohio of dogs and cats disappearing and being eaten. They're not all being eaten. There's a whole new group of people that came from voodoo. And I suspect that's what's going on there, as voodoo is being practiced. And voodoo includes animal and blood sacrifices to be practiced. So anyway, this said, do not believe every spirit. Good advice. Good advice. Even when you hear things come from good people, I've always conducted myself. Sometimes I think this is a dynamic that sometimes works really well in a husband and wife. You know, opposites attract, they say. And sometimes the strengths that a husband has, the wife does not, and vice versa. I've always had a good dose of skepticism when people say things. You can't do that, you're going to die. Well, hang on a second here, you know. I like to think it's common sense, but a good, healthy dose of skepticism is good. Now, we don't want to be like Thomas, that we never believe. Because I surely believe when I see some evidence and I have the witness on the inside. But even good people, even Christian people saying certain things, you know, I'm skeptical about some of those things. And, you know, and that's good. In other words, don't believe every spirit. Don't believe every report that you hear. And I have kept our family. Sandy has other strengths, but I've kept our family from some trouble by being a little skeptical and saying, now hang on, wait a minute here. Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Don't get too far away from this verse. Test spirits. There are false prophets. Not everyone who claims to be a prophet is a prophet. A true one. Even the true ones, they're still human. They still can make a mistake. We are to test the spirits, whether they are of God. So let me ask you a question. Do you know how to test a spirit? It'd be a pretty important skill to have, wouldn't it? Pretty important skill to have. Now, elsewhere, Scripture talks about no one speaking by the Spirit of God can call Jesus accursed. And people have attempted, when they see a manifestation that they think is evil spirit or something like that, they say to, say, a person that's manifesting something that don't seem good, you know, say Jesus is Lord. Well, I tell you, they can say it because they can lie. But they can't make Him Lord. They don't live like He's Lord. Even demon spirits at the presence of Jesus shake, tremble. Lord, have you come to torture us before the time? Mm-hmm. Remember that, the demon-possessed man, the demons went into the pigs? Mm-hmm. Those demons called him Lord. Amen. Lord, have you come to torture us before the time? What they can't do is live for Him and honor Him and respect Him. That's what they can't do. Amen. So testing every spirit. How do you test the spirit? Your life might depend on it. We can get involved in a deception that could cost us our life. Let me give you an example. We're in a presidential season here shortly. And folks, vote. I know in Illinois it's pretty much a certain outcome on things, but still, there's local races that matter. Vote. Vote the values of the Scriptures, not our feelings. But in the last cycle, the last presidential election cycle, it was a difficult time, wasn't it? It was part of the division that people are still fighting over. There were individuals, Christian individuals, who were thought to be prophets in the body. You had COVID, and everybody started streaming online and making podcasts and all of that. So now we have an explosion of availability of really anybody putting things up on YouTube. So there were individuals thought to be prophets called themselves prophets or thought to be prophets or maybe even were true prophets who got carried away with things. And this is a little bit of an incrimination. Don't let anybody take any condemnation from it. But individuals thought to be prophets. But haven't you heard prophet so-and-so? He says Trump will remain in office. And I had skepticism at the time. Because it's just on the inside here. That don't ring true. I think one of the things to look for in discerning the ministry of the prophet, they're likely to be an older person because you want experience, maturity, and development of years. So we got a 19-year-old prophet, a 25-year-old prophet, a prophet in the making. Many made predictions that Trump would remain in office, and he did not. Just by way of example, Pastor Ricky, whom we love, and his wife Sally, this operates in him some. And they at the time said they were a little bit, now Lord, what's up here? Because the Lord had said to them, Donald Trump will serve 8 years. And they assumed consecutively. Now we'll see if that's right. Because there's no certain outcome at this point at all. But anyway, even prophets that we may think they're the right ones, they have the right endorsements, all of that, even they can make mistakes. Even they sometimes want something to happen. Even they start in the spirit and may get too far with something and be prophesying out of the flesh. So we need to be careful about that. And just because someone says they're a prophet. In fact, I'll say this. You go through the Old Testament, and this would be a good example. Go and read all the various prophets. They were not popular people. Because they usually had something to say that did not stir the people with enthusiasm and excitement. Woo! This is going to be good. It was usually a little more, oh no, 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 no. Most of them were killed. And so if you have a prophet in modern times who's writing or saying overly glorious, victorious, you know, there is such a thing as prophesying victory and so on. More often than not, there's caution and there's measure. And if you and warning, yeah, that's a good way to say that. And just filter that on down, not just prophets, but brother and sister in the Lord, and even our own thoughts and desires. Just filter that right on down. Not everything I want is going to be the leading of the Spirit of God. In fact, following the Lord, we might be like Jesus. You follow the Spirit and you go right into the wilderness to be tested. Was that the Spirit of God? Yes, it was. Did Jesus enjoy it? I don't think so. Did he come out victorious and in the power of the Spirit? Yes, he came out better. Absolutely. Could the Spirit of God lead us into a wilderness? Yes. Could it be tough? Yes. Will we be better if we see it all the way through? Yes. All things work together for good to them that love God, called according to his purpose. Amen. Jeremiah 14:14, please. Can you see the pastor training everybody to see the real and the not real? Because they're going to be in the same room. You get a real move of God going, and you're going to have both in the same room. Jeremiah 14:14. And the Lord said to me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I have not sent them, commanded them, nor spoken to them. They prophesy to you a false vision, divination. You know what divination is? That's witchcraft. That's knowing things by a dark spirit. Divination, a worthless thing, and the deceit of their heart. I have firsthand seen Christians, individuals, who have learned, you know, a word of prophecy comes and God will use them, and they learn how to start phrasing it in such a way, and then they steer it in a direction of prophesying the money out of your purse into theirs. We had that in our church. Here's a dead giveaway. When someone prophesies to your ego, run away. I mean, I've heard it firsthand, overhearing somebody, unauthorized, but down the line where I'm laying on hands, prophesying somebody else down there. You know, they're not recognizing you properly in this church, says the Lord. I have given you gifts beyond what they're accepting. Things like that. Think that couldn't happen in church? It does. It did. And that particular was a lady. She ain't here no more. Amen. So there are some saying and sounding right, but the Lord didn't send them, and the Lord didn't put words in their mouth. I'll give you another example. Before we started this church, which is almost 28 years now, I was associate minister at a church up north, and there was a particular revival going on at that time down in Missouri. Our senior pastor had participated some in that and been a part of some services down there. He brought that team up to the church there where I was associate minister and had them do services and minister. There was a lot of people. We were normally running about 800 in two services. You have some special things go on and it starts getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So they were ministering, laying out of hands. The main guy that was a pastor of a church in Missouri and the main minister, he brought a team with him because no one can lay hands on everybody. There's a lot of people that wanted to have hands laid on them and ministered to. I want everything God's got for me. I went in that line as well. And a young man laid his hands on me, started praying and then prophesying over me, and started kind of a moan thing while he's laying on, and, you know, talking about my hurt and my pain, and started talking about how my daddy never said he loved me, and things like that. And I go, thank you very much, because that's not true of this man right here. I mean, missed it by a mile. Missed it by a mile. But there's other things that they're telling, same individual probably telling other people's, and they're, ooh, that sounds good. I like it. I like it. I like it. I like it. So he was saying the Lord's going to heal my pain because of the love of my father that I didn't have. And I thought, there ain't no pain to heal there. Amen. Amen. So he just totally blew it, just totally missed it. And here, great revival meetings and all that, but maybe this young man just felt the pressure to perform. You got to watch out for that. If you ever are called of God or called of your pastor to help in ministry, don't you dare feel pressure to perform. I got to watch out for that myself. Amen. There's a balance between the boldness to think maybe you have something and say it, or just assume you're going to say something to everybody and you prophesy good things to them. Watch out for that. Watch out for that. Deuteronomy 18:22. I love what Brother Hagin used to say, you know, his old Texas colloquialisms. He said, have as much sense as an old cow. Eat the hay and spit out the sticks. Amen. Eat the hay and spit out the sticks. Deuteronomy 18:22. When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. Boy, oh boy, what do we do with some of these individuals who said last presidential cycle that there's going to be this great big, I don't know, weren't they talking to me, even military sweep in and arrest people and install Donald Trump and there's a shadow government and all this? I tell you, some stuff was said that flat out was wrong. But I had to answer back to a lot of our church people about those things. I mean, we were saying, that sounds pretty good, let's go with it. And no, hang on. He's not coming back. Not that time, at least. Amen. Thing which the Lord has not spoken, the prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. Now, what do you do? And I don't recall because I paid no attention to those prophets at that time, because it's sort of like I knew. But maybe some of you know who said what back in those days. I don't know who it was. But what do you say about them now after Scripture says this? Are they a prophet? Are they a false prophet? The answer is probably a little bit of both. Maybe good people just got carried away, went too far. Now, they can repent before the Lord. But I'd be very careful about them. I know the individuals I trust. One of them, who many people consider a prophet, at the time was writing, no. In fact, he published before the election that Trump was going to lose and that it was going to be dishonest. Yeah. If you'd like to know who that is, I'll tell you after service. But he's one that if he says something, I can tell he's careful that he don't go too far. Publishes a newsletter. I read his newsletter. In other words, you shall not be afraid of him. You shall not hold him in the same regard that you might have previously, because the track record means something. It's important. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 14. When the Lord reveals something and the prophets speak, almost always, I won't say categorically always, but almost always, it is a bit of knowledge. It is part of the picture. It's never complete. Even when you read Jesus, things he said about the end times, you read the book of Revelation, and it's part of it. It takes faith and waiting on God to receive the life of it, because it won't just clearly say everything. Not usually. You got to be careful with those things. 1 Corinthians 14:26. How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together? Now I remind you, this is the church at Corinth. This is the church that had an abundance of the gifts of the Spirit, manifestations of the Spirit going. In fact, their services were getting a little wild. And this is what he's talking about here. Whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm. What's a psalm? A psalm is like a poem or song given by the Spirit of God. Has a teaching given by the Spirit of God. Has a tongue. Has a revelation. Has an interpretation, meaning tongues and interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. Now, we won't today, and maybe another time later, I will teach what is true Bible prophecy appropriate in a church service. Because elsewhere Paul says, all may prophesy. All should desire to prophesy. What, me? Yeah. You? Yeah. You should learn and grow and develop that so that it's possible for you to prophesy. When one prophesies, doesn't make them a prophet. They're very different things. And you can learn and you can grow in your anointing to prophesy, your accuracy to prophesy, but it's a process of maturing and growing. And we'll get to that another time. But Paul is saying, don't shut all of this stuff down. Let it be done. But let it be done for edification. Edification is a fancy word for building up, charging up. Everything in the service should build up and charge up. There's such a thing as too much. There's such a thing as becoming chaotic. There's such a thing as everybody, well, what was happening here is they started showboating. I got something from the Lord this week, and I demand my time to be heard. That's what was going on there, and that's why Paul was cautioning on some things. But I'm here to say that these things should be done and be done orderly. We're in the context of where it's talked about being done orderly with an interpreter, meaning a moderator or somebody understanding the whole flow of the service and saying when we're going further with this, when it's done, that kind of thing. But let's read on. Verse 27. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or at the most three, each in turn. I'm not going to take a lot of time, but there's a difference between all of us praying in other tongues, speaking to God, and the gifts of the Spirit, which are tongues and interpretation. There's a difference between those two. And we could all lift our voices all at once, together praying, all of us praying in other tongues. That's appropriate. But if it's for ministering to others in the service, tongues and interpretation, that's one at a time. Right? You see that? Verse 28, but if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church. And here, interpreter, I know it's the same word as tongues and interpretation, but this is a title upon a person. Won't go into it deep here, but there will be somebody. If you got a prayer meeting going on, a Bible study going on, a church service going on, there will be someone likely called as leader whose assignment is to keep things on track. An interpreter, interpreting the flow of the Holy Ghost. We don't see enough of it, we'll see more, but there are times when it just seems like, whew, the Spirit of God's so thick in here, seems like there would be a song, a hymn, a tongues and interpretation, something right here, right? All of us can kind of pick that up, and hopefully whoever's leading the service, song, praise and worship leader, pastor, somebody else, somebody maybe with a microphone, can sense that opening for these things and allow time for it. And let all be done unto edification. But it says here, each in turn, let him interpret. Verse 28, if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent and let him speak to himself and to God. That means just because we get a stirring on the inside doesn't mean it's time to do it. Doesn't mean it's the place to do it. I've had a stirring of God in the grocery store and other places. And what do I do with that? I act on it quietly where no one can hear me, right? Or within myself. So let him keep silent. Let him speak to himself and to God. Verse 29, let two or three prophets speak and let the others judge. See, sometimes people put on airs that if they say something by the Spirit, it's not to be questioned. I spoke that by the Spirit. Why are you not receiving it? And I had years ago, woman supposedly in the Spirit up in my face yelling at me. And I had to yell back. And it went something like, shut up and come out of her. Eyes closed, you know, the whole thing that people do. You know what this means? I'm in the Spirit, don't bother me and don't question me. You've heard a lot of teaching in normal tone of voice that was prophecy. It just didn't look like this, right? It was nonetheless the Spirit of God teaching. Amen. Judge, judge, judge. You are to judge. We are to judge. Now this says two or three prophets and let the others, implying the other prophets, judge. But you'll have a sense in your own heart when something's right or not right, even if you may not be a prophet. Side note, in the Word of God, if you study through, when there's correction to be done of one of God's ministers, someone of equal rank will address them, not someone of a lesser rank. Right. Is there rank in the kingdom of God? You bet there is. You bet there is. It's not to be exploited, but there is. So this says, if prophets speak and they misspeak, let the other prophets address that. In other words, from this whole discourse of Scripture, we don't blindly accept everything that might be said. We judge it. Or even what comes to mind, you know, an angel came and said things to the Virgin Mary, to Mary, Mother of Jesus. And what does it say in the Scripture? She pondered these things in her heart. She took it in and just, wow. And she thought on it, and she thought on it. And, you know, it might be like some prized possession that you might get out every once in a while, polish it up, look at it, admire it, put it back on the shelf. And another day you get it out, polish it up again, look at it, and put it back on the shelf. So when someone shares something with you, prophecy or it's the Spirit, you know. It might be good to just ponder on it. Go over it on the inside over and over and over and see if it retains authority or see if it seems to get weaker and weaker. Amen. So we don't blindly accept everything, we are to judge. Let's go to John 15, 26, please. I mentioned I'm teaching as a pastor, I'm protecting the sheep. Now, you could imagine if I was an evangelist, I would want to stir you up with all the possibilities. Everybody can prophesy, and we'd take turns prophesying in here today. We'd be running around the building, bouncing off the walls, talking about the power, the power, the power, and it would be right to do so. But it has to also be balanced by the pastor saying, but do it right. Do it right. Do it right. Don't get carried off into error. Amen. John 15, 26. But when the Helper comes, Spirit of God, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he, meaning the Holy Spirit, will testify of me. The Spirit of God is going to testify of Jesus or talk about Jesus. The Spirit of God always testifies and glorifies Jesus, who is the Word. We establish that right off the bat. If the Spirit's talking, he's glorifying Jesus. If the Spirit is leading, he's magnifying the ministry of Jesus. He's leading you into more of Jesus. He's testifying of Jesus. John 5:39 says, Jesus speaking, you search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. So we have two things that testify of Jesus. What are they? You didn't forget already. Nobody just doesn't want to say it. The Spirit and the Word. Your Bible from cover to cover testifies of Jesus. And it's interesting. If you want to look something up that's kind of neat, it was back in the days of Oral Roberts. Oral Roberts wrote a little thing, Jesus in every book of the Bible. For instance, in the book of Ruth, Jesus is represented in the kinsman redeemer. So every book of the Bible has Jesus in it, foreshadowed or plainly shown and seen. So we have the Spirit that testifies of Jesus. We have the Word that testifies of Jesus. Therefore, I say the Spirit and the Word agree. The Spirit and the Word agree. So the Scriptures also always testify and glorify Jesus, who is the Word. Jesus is the Word. The Word and the Spirit then always agree. This is one that we just want to burn into you today. The Word and the Spirit agree. The Word and the Spirit agree. When you hear something by the Spirit and it doesn't agree with the Word, doesn't have support from the Word, uh-oh. Hang on a second here. The Word and the Spirit agree. Earlier, we saw where it said, test every spirit. How do you test every spirit? Do you know how? Your life may depend on it. I'll tell you how. You test it with the Word. You test every spirit by the Word of God. Let's go to John 16, 13, please. While we're going there, say this. Any manifestation, any move of God, any move of any kind, any prophecy or leading of any kind will always line up with the Word. If you sense you have some leading or think you have a leading from God to go do this thing, like I've heard this one years ago, lady and family that was part of our church, she said God was leading her to leave her children behind, go out of state, and become missionary or something like that, you know. Got involved in some other ministry. Abandoned her children to her parents, really. And at the time, I was like, no, 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 no. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Couldn't be talked out of it. How'd that prove out? I'll tell you how it proved out. She got involved with the minister in adultery. That's how it turned out. Tell me that that was the leading of God. That didn't line up with the Word. A mother abandoning her children? Any manifestation, move, prophecy, or leading of any kind will always line up with the Word. John 16, 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. In other words, Jesus is the Word. The Spirit testifies of Jesus. The Spirit of God always will take things of the Word, take things of Jesus, which Jesus got from the Father. The Spirit will always testify and lead into truth, and the Word is the truth. It seemed to me like four or five ways overlapped. We're proving out here from the Word, the Spirit and the Word agree. Spirit and the Word agree. So, the Word and the Spirit will always agree. Your defense against deception by Spirit, not of God, is your thorough knowledge of the Word. This is why you need knowledge of the Word. This is why you need to read your Bible. This is why, even if you don't understand exactly what that means, have read it and have it somewhere on the inside. Remember, Jesus told the disciples when the Spirit comes, he's going to put all things in their remembrance. It's the Spirit of God that suddenly causes you to remember, oh yeah, I read once, and it might be just a phrase, but it'll be the Word of God to you, and it'll be the leading to keep you from falling into an error. The Spirit and the Word always agree. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And we are going to have a move of the Spirit. We're going to have a move of God here. A move of God is coming, and we're preparing for it. There was a great move of God in Pensacola, Florida, called the Brownsville Revival, I think, at the time. We went down several times, and I can tell you this. That move, which is thousands and thousands, and it went how many weeks, I don't know. Sandy and I attended services, wait in line for hours to get in, and still stood along the back wall. No seat for us. But that's okay. It was worth it. But let me tell you, by the pastor's own testimony, some of it was just chaotic and impossible to handle. And he said their bill in toilet paper alone was just about bankrupting the church budget. Yeah. You want to think, oh, we will great move of God. There'll be so much money come in. No, it's likely to be the other way. All these people coming aren't going to be disciplined givers, perhaps. And it could be quite the opposite. It could cost a lot of money. But a move of God. But we were helped. We were changed. We were touched. We were restored. It was a good move. Glad to have it happen. It eventually fell apart. It eventually was so much trouble and wore out and practically ruined so many people, the church people trying to serve. You want to have a move of God? I do. But we better be eyes wide open as we go into some of those things. And maybe they can be done a little better than was done. I don't know. And years ago here as well, our church, we had a move of God. Remember that? About 50 services almost in a row. And then I shut it down. Do you know why? Because it was time to shut it down. Before it ruined and harmed everybody. Yeah. Amen? Yes. And at the time, why are we stopping? Why are we stopping? Because I'm the shepherd and my heart senses it's time to stop. And I'm going to protect the sheep. There's still going to be a church left when we're done with this move. Amen? It's a cautionary message today. But it's a very necessary one. Amen. Again, aviation. A lot of aviation training is cautionary training. You need to be prepared for this. You need to be prepared for that. So that's what we're doing. We're maturing the saints today. Amen? Amen. Having said that, let's believe also for a great move of God. Yes. Let's believe for tongues and interpretation appropriately done to be part of what we have. Let's believe for services where we are so excited that we just jump up and dance, run around the room, all of that. Spirit of God is moving. Let's believe God for holy laughter. Hallelujah. Laughter is a medicine. There's testimonies of a guy, forget the details, but a guy who was told, you're terminal cancer, days. Just days are left. And so the guy says, might as well enjoy the trip out. And he turned on the Three Stooges. And he laughed, and he laughed. And the more he laughed, the better he got. And that cancer went away. He laughed it away with the Three Stooges. Amen. Amen. You get your focus off of your troubles. You start rejoicing for where you are, what you have. You laugh. A merry heart does good like a medicine, is what the Proverbs says. Amen? Amen. Father, we just bless you and thank you for this good word, cautionary word, but good word. Father, we just look forward to all things being done decently and in order. We desire and we welcome a move of God. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Father, we thank you. And in the meantime, we're going to grow and we're going to be better prepared. And we're even going to start practicing in our personal lives at home. Start prophesying to ourselves. Start tongues and interpretation just at home all by ourselves. And then with somebody, maybe a family member, and just the urge will hit you. And you just lay hands on them and Lord, you'll give us a word to encourage and help and bless. We're growing and we're going and we're going to have what you have for us. Father, we thank you for all of these things. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I love you all. God bless you all. We'll see you all next Sunday.
The Lord bless you, protect you, give you
power and mercy. Amen. I receive it. I receive it. I receive it. Thank you.